NCTNI presents Boobcast with Katie and Kiefer. We're both NCT qualified breastfeeding counsellors with five children between us and wide-ranging breastfeeding experiences. On this podcast, we'll be delving into some of the topics that come up most regularly when we talk to parents.
This week, we'll be talking about expectations versus reality. Start off with, what do we think sets expectations?
Looking at the wider picture, what surrounds us, whether it's family members or social media, books that we reach to, really kind of force our eyes to certain things that set those expectations before our baby is actually here.
Mm. Yeah, and you know, you were saying about the very, very beginning, we get the positive pregnancy test or even before then when we're planning. Mm-hmm. You know, we see things and we automatically have this idea and this expectation of how it should be. So, you know, we make the appointment and in a way that's setting in motion.
Yeah, it sets in motion the direction that we're going in. And we're put into this bubble and we have constant checks whenever we're pregnant. We have midwives checking in with us. Everyone is talking about this pregnancy and labour and birth. And then through that, you're introduced to maybe parenting books, online forums. And then all of a sudden, your baby's here and you've done all this reading. You know how many hours they should be sleeping, how many feeds they should be having a day, and then it's like a slap in the face how it rarely goes that way.
I think very, very quickly your expectations are shattered. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's not that there's, you know, you don't love your baby, you don't, not that, you know, the experience isn't wonderful, it is, but there's also a very, very big difference to how you expect those first few weeks to go and how they actually go.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of people, the first thing is the sleep deprivation. Mm-hmm.
Completely.
The amount of sleep that you think you'll have is is just completely different to the amount of sleep that you actually get.
Yeah, it's totally laughable that you are led to believe that your baby will sleep, and in some books say that they're going to sleep 17 hours a day. And you read it whenever you're pregnant and you go, wow, this is great. And
yeah,
your baby might sleep, but they're not going to sleep in the cot that you've spent money on.
Yeah, they probably do sleep for 17 hours, but they, in between that, they'll need nappy changes. They'll need to be fed, of course. And the things that, you know, we expect we'll be able to do when they're asleep, like have a shower. Mm-hmm. Have dinner and, you know, all of those kind of
all those basic needs
for ourselves don't really come to pass.
Hmm.
Because actually the baby's been in your tummy for 9 months attached to you. Mm-hmm. And the baby still wants to be attached to you.
Yeah, exactly. And so we our expectations have been shattered and we're faced with this reality of this tiny human that only wants to be on us. And I feel that for breastfeeding mums, that might feel even more intense.
Yeah, although it's a different intense, mm-hmm. I think, because a baby still needs to be fed.
Yeah.
So no matter what way you're feeding them, I think you will still have that huge pressure, mm-hmm. to feel like you should be doing everything, but you don't have any time to do anything. But I think what comes into it for breastfeeding is the sheer amount of things that you don't realize about breastfeeding.
Mm.
Like the fact that you will have huge boobs for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Really, really huge.
At least a few days.
You'll have, possibly, you might have sore nipples.
Mm-hmm.
You might have other issues with attachment and things like that, that you might need some help with.
Yep. So our expectations, not only of this small human and how it's going to be, including sleep, we have to manage our expectations about breastfeeding. And depending on what we've read and where our sources have came from, our information has came from, again, that might not match our expectations.
Like you say, depending on what book you've read or, you know, what forum you're on, the information that you're getting may wildly change. Mm-hmm. And you know, not all information that you're getting is going to be evidence-based. It's not going to be in the best interests of breastfeeding, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And that's something that's quite hard to navigate when you're in that first few weeks in the very first stage of having a newborn.
Mm-hmm.
You can have everything set up. You can have, well, I'm going to make sure that I do this or that. Mm-hmm. And if something has happened that makes it impossible to do something, or you know, you realize that actually you're not going to have time to sit and read a book when the baby's there.
Everything just gets turned upside down. It can be hard for new parents to accept, and I believe it starts with the pregnancy journey, where you're so heavily, you know, supported and lifted up and cared for by all these healthcare professionals, and then all of a sudden your baby's here, and it can sometimes feel as though you're just dropped. Because you're sent home, sometimes it's after a couple of hours of your baby being born, and there's this life that you and your partner have to sustain, as well as navigating the change in dynamics in your own relationship.
Mm.
And arming yourself with information, letting yourself trust your instincts as a parent, I think is that's something that isn't really encouraged in society, where information is so readily available. You can, you know, look it up on the internet, you can ask on those parenting forums and other social medias, and just not allow yourself to act in your baby's best interest.
That's right, yeah. And I think when you have so much information, actually there's too much,
mm-hmm.
In many cases, then your own instincts are clouded by things that other people are saying. You know, it might be family members or friends, people that you trust, giving you information that they think is right.
Yeah.
Or that was right for them.
Exactly.
Or
it's outdated now.
Yeah,
20 years ago.
And what we don't see as well is that a lot of this information about babies, very, very young babies, growth charts and things like that, are actually based on formula fed babies. Mm-hmm. Puts a lot of extra pressure on parents when, for example, maybe they're in a family where nobody else is breastfed, or maybe only one or two people have breastfed, maybe for a long time, maybe not. But everybody's situation is going to be completely different. We all have different babies. We all, you know, babies they're little humans. So they're just like us. They have their own personalities, their own likes and dislikes. And, you know, I think it's really important to remember that when a baby's born, they're a cave baby. They don't know what century they live in. They don't know that we've bought them an expensive cot, and we've got all of these, you know, extra gadgets that will help them with all these problems. I say problems because often they're not problems, are they?
It's just the reality things. Of it.
Exactly. And so they will learn as they get older, you know, that there are things for them in this world that maybe they wouldn't have had if they were born 500 years ago.
The reality being that, like you said, you know, these babies, they really are small humans, and they're entitled to not act like the babies in the book, because as adults, we're all so vastly different. And as adults, increasingly so, our differences are all celebrated. However, if your baby doesn't match that routine that's been dictated by some parenting expert, then all of a sudden it's a problem, and you start to question what you've done wrong as a parent. Why is your baby having a party at 3 a.m. rather than just allowing your baby to be themselves?
And it can be really difficult to reset those expectations for yourself, because we are coming into this as new parents and we're thinking, I'm really tired. I have just given birth to you and I really, really need to sleep. And okay to feel like that. It's normal to feel like that. We've all felt like that at one point or another, but it's not shutting that down.
Yeah.
It's trying to go with it. And it's very easy to say to a new parent, you know, to sleep when the baby sleeps or rest when the baby sleeps. Our lives are making that not possible.
The expectations that are put on new parents, new mums especially. I think there's an increasing amount of conversation around the fourth trimester. I think that's becoming more considered. People are slightly more aware of it, which really protects the mum and allows the mum to have that time with the baby where they get to know each other and maybe accept the reality isn't what they expect and gets them time to be okay with that.
And there are so many societies in the world who still protect that time, you know, where the mother cannot get up. She's left in a bed, mm-hmm. and her baby's brought to her to feed and to sleep. And when the mother needs some time, baby's taken away and looked after until it needs to be fed again. And we are so far removed from that in our society.
I know.
It's really sad.
It's so sad. You think you hear of other cultures that really treat the new mum as a queen. You know, they get revered to the extent that they are allowed to lift a finger. And our
except
society, except the baby. And our society just isn't built like that. So whenever new mums are challenged and are experiencing a hard time because their expectations don't match their reality, they feel guilty for asking for help, never mind accepting help that's offered, because their baby should be sleeping and they should be able to do everything within the house.
And when we've got this newborn who only wants to be held, you know, that is actually how a baby should be.
Yeah,
that is a sign of a healthy baby. That they want to be beside their mother or their father, or they want to be held by an adult. They don't necessarily actually need to be held by their mother all the time. In a family where there's only the mum and dad, or there's two parents and nobody else is around, you know, a lot of people live away from their own parents or family and things like that. So it fits into, you know, there's only two parents, or the partner may go back to work after 2 weeks, and then the mum is left on her own to hold the baby all day long.
Yeah.
And of course, then it's actually, you know, why can't I put my baby down? You know, there must be something wrong. So that is weaved into society.
It really is. And then that mum feels as though motherhood isn't really viewed as a full-time job. So this mum had been promised, or had the expectations of these, if they're off maternity leave, having 9 months to do all these great things, gonna be active, out for walks, at groups, such high expectations. And yes, of course, there's women that are mind-blowingly organized that can achieve all this. But sometimes the reality is your baby just wants to be held. And in those early days, especially, they want to be nursed, they want to be snuggled, and they're not going to want you to put them in their really expensive rocking chair while you go and do the dishes.
No, and it's leaning into that. We can tell parents all day long, your baby's not going to want to be put down. But if you haven't got that mindset, if you haven't got that mindset until after the baby's born, it can be really, really hard.
Yeah.
Because you're in a situation suddenly where you don't have any control. You don't feel like you're able to continue your day, because there are things that are not going the right way, what you expect.
Yeah.
You're not able to put your baby down even for half an hour to go and have a shower. That can be really, really hard, because then that can set an expectation for the morning, or, you know, a certain time of the day that is not fulfilled. And then you're continuing, you're trying to claw it back for the day. And then you get to the end of the day and you have this feeling like, I haven't achieved anything. And in fact, you've achieved looking after a baby all day.
Exactly. You've looked after a small human, and that needs to be celebrated, instead of just, oh, you know, the baby just fed all day and we haven't been able to do this, and oh, sorry, your dinner's not cooked, or I haven't hoovered. And of course, those things are important, and you do start to fit those into your life. But if we're looking at the very early, you know, weeks, you know, the parenting books that give you the day by day, week by week expectations are not very helpful.
It can be a real shock, can't it, when you read through those things and you think, oh, my baby didn't do that. Why did my baby not do that? And then you start asking your friends, did their baby do that? And then either their baby's too old, so they don't remember, and they say, yeah, I think so. Or, you know, you ask your parent or your aunt or somebody, and they say, oh yeah, I think so. And then it sets in motion this feeling that you're not doing, that you're failing.
Yeah.
You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
You're not doing
because
enough.
Something hasn't. But actually, if you break all that down, everybody is different. Everybody has their own set of their own expectations. And so, you know, maybe the person that you're talking to had lower expectations. Maybe they had higher expectations and they blocked it out because they had a really awful time.
Yeah. And that's something, again, that isn't ever talked about. And I'm not talking about the really awful experience. It's never about frightening new parents. I think it is conveying that reality in a gentle way and encouraging parents to be okay with the reality that their baby most likely won't sleep as often as they expect, and that they're going to find themselves holding their baby more than they anticipated. Empowering parents to seek out the reality without being afraid of it.
So how do we empower parents then to think about listening to their instincts and how that can be the most important thing?
I think it's really important to look at who is offering the advice and what books you're picking up, because there are some wonderful professionals who have laid it out there that have put into words that it's okay to trust yourself. There's some wonderful resources online where polls have been taken about the reality of sleep expectations and how maybe it is a case of parents don't want to share how little their kids actually sleep because they're aware that it's not the, you know, the normal, the expected. So therefore, we don't have that open conversation for everyone to hear.
I think that's really important what you say about having the open conversation, because we all will experience this slightly differently, but there are a lot of things that are the same. And one of the things that will be fairly similar for most people is that most people at some point will be completely broken by the sleep situation. And, you know, that they expect that their baby will be sleeping through the night at a certain age, or they'll expect that they'll have 3 naps a day and you'll know what time they're going to be at so that you can set your day around that.
Yeah.
And in reality, that happens for very, very little parents. And the ones that does happen for, in conversations that I've had with people, it happens for a while and then they may need to reset.
Yeah.
You know, things, your baby changes.
Yeah. And I think something that can help is to accept it. You know, it's the difference between bringing a life into this world and expecting them to fit into how your life was prior to them being here. So you're expecting to have these long blocks of sleep, and instead of your lifestyle adapting to them and you going, right, okay, this is what you want to do. So we're either going to try to go with the flow or we're going to fight against it. And sometimes a lot, giving yourself permission to accept it is what it is, can just be a weight lifted off parents, instead of always searching for the reason why your baby won't sleep, why they want to party at 3 in the morning, and why your best friend's baby sleeps blissfully for 12 hours every night and they don't have to go and see them again.
Yeah, that's a really important point, is that there is this weight that you're carrying when you've got so-called problems with sleep, and it can feel so, so hard to get through every day when you are dreading nap time, you're dreading bedtime, you're dreading the night.
Yeah.
And, you know, we wonder why parents kind of switch off, and, you know, you don't, if you have a friend who's maybe had a baby and you don't hear from them for a while, it's because they're really
challenged by lack of
challenged
sleep.
By, you know, the things that are happening.
And
as wonderful as their new baby will be to them, they will also be facing challenges as well, and it won't always be, you know, all day every day is wonderful. There will be pockets of wonderful and pockets of challenges, and then when things are kind of just fine, they're cruising.
Yeah, exactly.
It's their time to breathe.
I know, and it's really encouraging parents to be okay with that because it is, it's such a journey, and all these expectations in reality is so true for both breastfed babies and formula fed babies, because babies are babies and they're all individual, like you said. I don't know if it makes a great deal of difference if your baby doesn't sleep. You know, if you're a breastfeeding mum, you might go, you might, my best friend's baby that has formula sleeps blissfully, so I'm gonna give them a bottle, and then the chances are of that baby will not sleep, or they may sleep for one night and then not sleep the following night. So again, we have these expectations, and the reality is nothing'll change until your baby's ready to sleep.
A lot of things are developmental, so, you know, it'll happen when the baby's ready.
Yeah.
And you know, things like putting on socks inside the grow bag, or what other things?
Perfect temperature of the room.
Yeah.
Become obsessed with that.
All of those things, they might help a little bit.
Yeah.
But the reality is that they're probably not going to help as much as you think they will.
Yeah. However, if moving the goalposts at each stage, once I'm back at work and they're in a really, you know, a better routine if they're in daycare, then they'll sleep. Or once they start solids, then they'll sleep. Or once they start walking, they'll be so exhausted, then they'll sleep. And you just keep moving those goalposts, because maybe that's what you as a parent need to be able to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
To get to the next stage.
Yeah. And maybe you don't have to try and find the right information. Maybe you just need to look at what you think will work for your baby and for your family.
Yeah.
And lots of those things that you're told might not work for your own family.
No.
And they might not work for, you know, the setup that you've got, or they might not work for your own baby.
Yeah. And your parenting expectations, and, you know, everyone talks about parenting styles. If certain ways to encourage your child to sleep doesn't sit right with you as a parent, then that's okay. And again, I think it comes back to parents being okay with saying, no, you know, we're working on it together. We have decided to parent in a certain way and that doesn't sit right with us. So again, accepting your current situation, trusting it will change eventually, and being okay with that. There's so much to be said about letting go of expectations.
Yeah. And that feeling when, you know, what you're doing, what you feel you're doing is right.
Yeah.
Versus other people are saying that what you're doing is wrong. Mm-hmm. That can be really, really hard to shake.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if somebody's saying to you, oh, you shouldn't be doing that, that's a rod for your own back, you know, why is your opinion, why does your opinion matter to my family?
Exactly.
And it can be really, really difficult to say that to somebody.
Why does my child's sleep upset you so much? You know, like, that's something that I as a parent had to deal with. A colleague kept getting so upset that my son wouldn't sleep, that I was just like, hold on. Why? I mean, I'm not that upset. It's all right.
You're not in my house at night time.
You don't have to be up with him. It's perfectly okay. You know, we're working through it in a style that fits right for me and my husband. So, again, it took a while for me to, as a parent, have the confidence to acknowledge that and not always seek out everyone's advice. And, you know, if we go back to the early days, I was so desperate for any sort of suggestion to encourage sleep, or looking for what was wrong with my son because he didn't like to sleep. And you just question everything because you've been set up with such high expectations, or, you know, the expectation that all babies have an instruction manual.
I've been talking a lot about sleep, but that also goes for breastfeeding as well, because there are so many opinions that come with breastfeeding too. And it's really hard to shake those. If somebody says, oh, well, I breastfed for X amount of time, doesn't matter how long it was, and we did this and this worked for us. If you've got, you know, an issue and you're trying to solve it, and somebody is giving you one piece of advice and somebody's giving you another piece of advice, and it can be really, really difficult to set those apart and you know, look inside and see yourself and see, what actually do I need? What do I think is going to work here? Mm-hmm. And where is the best place to get this information? Because it might not be the woman who lives next door.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, what feels, again, what trusting yourself, you know, in those early days, you look to other people. But once you get to know your baby and you start to see yourself as a mum and or as a parent, you should be encouraged and allowed to trust your instinct, because society is always there with a tidbit of advice or their experience. And I think the reality for parents should be what you're living right now in that moment, and encouraging parents to go with it. And to maybe think about where they're getting that advice from, like you said, and B, if they really want it. Sometimes just going, I'm exhausted, is merely that. You're just sharing. You're not looking for a return.
You're not looking for somebody to list off a list of things that helped them when they were exhausted. You're just looking for someone to say,
yes,
you know what? That's fine.
Mm-hmm. It's really hard.
That happened to me too.
Exactly. Solidarity in, you know, accepting what someone's saying. It's so ingrained in our society to want to fix a problem or a perceived problem. It's instead of just allowing the parents to say that they're really exhausted and worn out, asking, well, what can I do to help? Can I help? Or I'm just going to, you know, keep going. You're doing a great job. Look at your baby. Look how they're growing and...
Yeah, they're thriving. Really, you don't need to worry about much else.
No, you know, we...
The basic needs are so little and that our expectations should fit with that too.
Yes.
We've got such high expectations of what we expect our babies to be able to do as soon as they're born. But actually, a lot of it is learned. You know, we've learned that those expectations are normal.
Yeah.
But they're not. We've learned that we should be, you know, able to be superwoman and get the house tidied while the baby's asleep. And, you know, that is something that we've been told, not something that is.
Yeah, I think that really hits the nail on the head. Our expectations are learnt expectations. And the reality is, if we are meeting our needs, we're meeting our baby's needs, then allowing ourselves to just accept that and take each day as it is, then we should be able
to... Maybe we're doing okay.
Maybe we're doing okay and we should all deserve a pat on the back.
You've been listening to NCTNI Presents Boobcast with Katie and Kifa. Join us next time for more breastfeeding chat. This podcast is brought to you in association with NCT Northern Ireland and funded by the Public Health Agency NI. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram and find out more about our courses on the NCT website.